City League sports fans, come on, we have a fun one here today. In the Legacy Lounge with me today are the Whetstone Braves girls track team. We got runners in the building, right? And so joining me are Katinka Mortz. Am I pronouncing that last name correctly? Good. I'm rolling right now. We got our very own Catherine Pierce in the house. And along joining them is Coach Matt Agee.
Yes, sir.
I 3 for 3 here today on names. Everybody say hello. Katina, we'll start with you. Say hello to Central Ohio.
Hi.
And then we'll just go down the line here.
Central Ohio, how are we doing today?
No. Coach, you don't get to go first. Katina gets to go first. We're going to go over here, and then we'll roll down the line. There we go. We'll roll down the line. Coach, you'll be second this time, Coach.
I jumped the gun.
There you go.
Hi, Central Ohio.
There we go.
Central Ohio, how's it going today?
What's up, Central Ohio?
Come on, there we go. Yes, loosen up. Everybody's got to take a deep breath for me. All right, so look, like I shared in post-show, we're just going to talk about Whetstone Track here today. We're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to share in some of your stories. We're going to figure out kind of how you got here, why you're sitting in the seats. And let's just talk. So we're just going to dive right in with it, okay? I'm going to start with the pressure at the beginning of the show. You all are back-to-back City League champions for girls track, right? So that means, and were both of you on the team as sophomores?
Yes.
So
yes.
You've both been a part of the team for the last 2 years. And now, Coach, you're in your first year. First year as a head coach, is that right?
Correct.
So tell me a little bit, is there some pressure here? Is there anything running through the minds? You got these two seniors here who I'm sure want to finish on top. And so tell me about your first year and how's it been going so far?
So in terms of being like my first year as the head coach running everything, I don't necessarily feel that pressure just because, one, having Joe Monda back as my assistant has been amazing. And so having him right there, you know, anything that I have questions about, anything I may have forgotten, like, he's right there to remind me. So, like, having him as my assistant coach on my staff still has been a tremendous help.
Okay, so you got somebody you can lean on a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you lean on these two as seniors any?
Oh, of course.
Tell me about the senior leadership on the team.
So the main thing is, you know, when I don't necessarily want to say stuff to the younger ones, I make sure that they do, because again, they're such great leaders. Like, I know that the freshmen, the sophomores, anyone that's even new to the team, they look up to them so much, and they respect them.
Okay, so I'm turning right to you, ladies. So you hear that, but I'm wondering, Catherine, we'll start with you. Do you feel that? Is there pressure that goes along with being a senior and being a leader, or is that just natural? You don't even notice it.
I think it's a bit of both. I think that I have the opportunity to be surrounded by people that I feel comfortable enough to, you know, for it to come natural for me to just be able to, you know, go out and do my thing, and for me to support other people going out and do their thing. But I think there is always a little bit of pressure, but that pressure helps push us forward. It's good pressure.
Okay. Katinka, what do you think? Do you feel this leadership, or is it just you're just out there just normally being yourself?
I think this year we have a lot younger of a team than we usually do. When I started, we were mostly seniors. Our team was very small. So now I've got to teach a lot of the younger kids a lot of how the team works. So I feel like there's a little bit of pressure there.
Okay.
But just like Catherine says, I feel like as long as you're working hard, I feel like it's pretty easy to, you know, get by stress-free and just put in the work.
So I'm gonna keep it with you two young ladies here, right? Because I'm curious now. You all both have been a part of a championship team for the last 2 years. When you were sophomores, 10th graders, right? Who was a senior that maybe shared a comment or advice with you? Maybe you don't remember their name, but is there something that a senior or one of the leaders on the team then maybe were able to demonstrate, or that you remember that was beneficial to you? Either one of you, I don't care who. This is an open one for y'all, because I'm curious now, because you all are on the other side, right? And not many students get an opportunity to be a part of a program that possibly wins 3 championships in a row, right? And so I'm curious as to what experience you had as sophomores yourself.
I think when I was a sophomore, I think we had one of the strongest senior classes that we've had. We had like 4 really memorable seniors. So we had Kiefer Young, Wyatt Starkey, Maitland Neff, and then my older sister, Anouk.
Okay.
They all led by example, which is what I try to do now. So they were just hard workers, and it showed. Okay. So, yeah, those are the people that probably like helped me be the leader and the athlete that I am now.
All right. What do you think?
So I've got 2 people. My sophomore year, it was my older brother, Malcolm. Having my sibling on the team really helped me just kind of relax and keep it natural. Yeah. And I'm going to take it back to my freshman year, Matea. She was awesome. She was...
What's her name?
Matea.
Matea, okay. Yes. Everybody shook their head at unison. Yes. I don't know who Matea is, but she must be amazing.
She was awesome.
Like,
she was
everyone's head just nodded in unison just now.
When you came
Matea,
in...
wherever you're at, hello.
She was just like that one, like, you know, when you get in high school and you see these seniors and you're like, oh my gosh, that's what I want to be when I grow up. That's the type of senior I want to be. Like, Matea was that girl.
Wow, good for her. Okay, so you all have had... sibling kind of role models, both of you, right? You had an older sister, you had an older brother that were on the team. And then obviously whoever Matea is, right? Everybody vibes with Matea because you all in unison shook your head. So coach, now you've been a part of the program. You've seen this kind of transition. What's the difference for you now being in the head seat though? When, like, you know, I know you said you got somebody you can lean on, but is there a difference that you feel or things that you think you need to do differently?
Not necessarily that I think I do differently. Like, I think from when I've started, like, my coaching style has remained the same. I think it's more of just...
What's your coaching style? Come on, we're putting you... This is the hot seat here today. What's your coaching style when you say that?
So I think that my best trait as a coach is my ability to relate to the kids because I'm 31, not quite 32 yet. My birthday is on Saturday, though, so I'm almost there. But, no, just being able to relate to them and also just... being my true, genuine self, especially for the kids that see me in school, like as a counselor or even as their track coach and outside, like a lot of them would just say, you're the same person, like no matter where you are.
Okay.
And that means a lot to me because I truly, that's just who I am. I'm just me. Like, I'm never trying to be anything more than I'm not. But at the same time, I'm also trying to instill the work ethic and mindset that I had as an athlete into now my coaching practice.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to bounce from both of you young ladies are multiple sport athletes, right? Those who are regular listeners to the show, I call you all the 7 to 7 kids. And that just means you typically start your day at 7 o'clock in the morning and you're probably ending most days around 7 o'clock at night with practices. And you just do that for a year long. I always find, students that can manage that and handle it well, especially for you all as honor students. I always find that remarkable. I'll just be very honest with you because a lot of kids struggle with that. So what's the trick? You know, we'll start with you, Katinka. What's the trick of being able to shuffle being a student athlete and also being able to give the attention that you want to your grades and being an honor student?
I think doing the CCP program, so I'm at OSU, gives me a lot more time to do work and study, but I also work 30 hours a week. So my day is like 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., but I have a nice...
You have a job?
2 jobs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I have like a good 3-hour chunk in the middle of the day before practice that I get all my work done and I study. So it's just balancing and making priorities during the daytime so that after that I can focus on practice and work at night.
Okay. Catherine, what you got? What's the trick? Come on, give us the special sauce. What is the trick?
For me, it's just having fun.
Okay.
I like working out. I like sports. I like coming to practice. It's just, for me, it's an outlet.
You play every season.
Yes. Every season since freshman, since COVID actually. So 7th grade, it's been a hot minute.
All right, you all, we're slowly... Like moving from the last of our COVID babies, right? And I say that in the purest sense of a comment, because we, you know, like early on when we would have shows, every student that came in was like, hey, you know, COVID. But you all are 7th graders, so you're kind of the last little group where sports in middle school and life. Not saying that the younger students weren't affected, but they weren't necessarily athletes in the realm of school athletes. So ever since the 7th grade, you've been doing three season sports.
Yep.
Oh wow. So
having fun with it really just helps me to, you know, relax and be myself and just have a good time.
Wow. I mean, you know, we hear it, and then here you all sit. You balance things extremely well. You know, you're talking about, you know, you guys are in school and you're taking classes at OSU and you're College Credit Plus and you're all these different experiences that you're having. So is track either of your first sport?
Track is definitely my first sport.
Track is your first sport. And I'm curious to hear. I'm wanting to hear what you're going to say.
First sport, I don't even think I could remember.
I don't mean the first sport you've ever done. I mean, is it like your first, is track your first love? Is track your love sport right now?
Yes.
Okay, because yes. you play volleyball, you play basketball. But is track where your heart is at?
Yes.
Okay, track is. So we got two track people in the room right now, right? What events do you run?
I run anything distance.
Anything distance.
I started as a sprinter my freshman year, so I've done every single event but two events. Yeah, and I did hurdles.
We're going to get to that with you as well, coach, right? So you started off, you were doing sprints, now you're doing distance. So you say anything distance starts with what event? What is the, is that 800 and above?
400 and above.
400 and above. So you run the four.
4x4, yeah.
4x4. Catherine, what do you run?
I do all the sprints.
Do all the sprints. So we got the balance here, right? We got the yin and the yang, scoring points in both. So you're doing the one, the two. Do you do the four also?
You know, this year I'm actually leaning a little bit towards it. I've been doing the four more often.
Did you see Coach just now?
Oh, yes. I can't tell you.
I've been pushing back. I've been pushing back.
His head started shaking.
Freshman year, I hated it. Oh, I hated the four so much. But this year is growing on me.
I can only imagine. I've shared this story multiple times. I don't know how anyone runs around the track in the four or the two. Those are way too long of a race for me. I had a niece who ran. That this story has been told many times, but she wanted to race me when she was in high school. We were doing the 200. She gave me 100. She gave me a lead of about 100 meters, and still somehow when we got around the curve, she walked me down. So I'm completely away from the track. Coach, you jumped in. What do you see in Catherine that made you get excited when I asked her about the four?
So the 4x4 is arguably my favorite event.
Okay.
To now coach. Not running it. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
I hated being in it too. But
all right.
Just being able to watch Catherine specifically anchor at times, like, and also now not hate it like she used to. If I had her running your sophomore, junior year, like, I probably shouldn't talk to her for the next like 24, 48 hours. I'll see her on Monday after the meet.
Yeah.
But like now, no, she's actually asked to be in it. Mm. I'm like, wow, okay. I never thought I'd see the day. Yeah. But no, I love it.
Okay. So, Coach, I read in part of your notes, mm-hmm. you were a track and football kid in high school,
correct?
Right? And you were running hurdles. You were a hurdler.
Yep.
Think back. Give me a memorable experience for you when you were a kid. What jumps? Is there something that jumps out at you?
Oh,
in hurdles, I'm talking about, yes. Not necessarily football. I'm just
definitely in it would have been the regional meet my senior year. You know, kind of going in.
Are you Ohio guy from Ohio?
Yeah, okay. Bellevue High School north.
Okay, up north, yep. Bellevue, Ohio. And you're running in regionals, and tell us what happens.
Yep, so kind of going in, I knew I was about seated fifth or sixth. So, like, I knew to get to fourth, I'm going to have to beat some people I have never beaten in my entire career.
Okay.
And so, you know, meet comes. Very well prepared for it. I end up running my fastest time I ever had, got third. Beat three more people than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
To punch my ticket to the state meet. And that was just by far the, you know, greatest feeling I've had within sports.
Okay.
For sure. So that was a special moment.
So let me ask you, how has that experience that you had as a kid and a runner, and according to your own sentiments here, you're not that old. So that wasn't too long ago for you, right? As you, and I say that jokingly.
2011.
How has that experience helped you be able to foster your coaching with students who maybe have those same dreams to make it to state? How, because you said, you made a comment just now, which I thought was very interesting. You said you were well prepared. How did you know you were well prepared?
So the week of practice leading up, you know, working with my coaches of like being honest with them of where I thought my deficiencies were and what I really thought I needed to get better at, which was my start at the time. But then also my head coach was he's a firm believer in visualizing.
Okay.
So whether it be the night before, day of the meet, right as I'm warming up, just visualizing and going over and over and over of me running that entire race, how it's going to look, or, you know, if something goes wrong, how am I going to respond? To then, you know, the point of that is then come race time when you're in it, you've rehearsed that moment in your head so many times that now you're not thinking anymore. You can just react and just run.
Do you share that with your athletes? Are you all in practice doing visualizations? Are you sitting there, or is that something that you share with them and ask them to do on their own?
I would definitely hope that neither one of them would say, I've never heard you say that before.
Uh-oh.
But no, I really like to just make sure that they communicate that to, you know, the younger freshmen too. Because again, the earlier you can kind of start thinking about that and doing that visualization, the more it's just going to become more natural.
So he spoke pretty boldly on that one. Catherine, is that something that you all have heard Coach talk about a lot? I mean, when he's saying visualization, is that something that enters into your own preparation?
Yeah. So last year, I want to say it was a regional meet too. Yeah. I took myself back, you know, away from the track, away from where everybody was. I found a corner and I just sat and I closed my eyes. I didn't even have headphones on. I just sat.
I love
and
that
I
you,
thought
hey,
about
like,
the race.
Let me pause you for a moment. So like, I just think your generation, I don't mean this in any bad way, I think you are like born with headphones on. So to hear you say that, it tells me how significant
it is. It's hard to take
is.
Them off. It's
I mean,
hard.
Like every time every kid I see has, I'm like, so, you know, if I could have invested in headphones a long time ago, if I would have known this was coming, I would have, right? Because you all just like, they're just a part of you. So you're not even headphones on. So this is a serious visualization moment yes. here. So go ahead. I didn't mean to stop you. Go ahead. So, you pulled away.
I sat and I just thought about the race for a solid like 5 minutes. I put my hands, you know, right like they were before the start just to get that help me with the visualization.
Yeah.
Just so I could feel comfortable and just prepared despite, you know, all the pressure and everybody out there.
Well, let me share this. That's a different level of athlete maturity. Not many kids can do that. I'm just going to share that with you. So pat yourself on the back when you leave out of here, right? Because, in every sport, you hear coaches yell out, like, lock in or get focused or whatever that's supposed to be, right? Like, every coach uses these same terms and words. But every kid has to every athlete has to process that on their own, right? So for some, locked in does mean having the headphones in and whatever it may have been, right? For others, it is pulling away. But to have that knowledge for yourself to say, hey, look, I need this moment. Let me lock in and kind of visualize where I want to go. Is certainly a level of athlete maturity. So pat yourself on the back. Katinka, let's turn to you. Do you hear Coach making these old visualization comments, right? We're putting Coach on the spot here a little bit today. Have you heard this obviously before?
Definitely. Yeah. I do a lot of visualization. I also talk with my teammates a lot at practice about exactly how we're going to race each race. So we talk about the 800, like how fast we're going to take out the first two and then how much we're going to kick the last two.
Take out the first 200 meters.
Yeah. So
I thought you were talking about opponents. Like,
oh, no.
opponents when we're running past them. Take out the first 200 meters.
So we talk about our race plan a lot, which helps us visualize everything. So being able to talk with your teammates is another way that I visualize a lot.
Okay.
So, like, discussing exactly what splits we want to hit the goals that we want.
So, in distance races, when you hear those splits, is somebody yelling this out to you when you say, how do you know you're hitting the split? Is that the coach's job? I don't know. I'm asking.
Yeah. So we have Monda who takes split at every 400. And then obviously you can also see the clock, which helps.
Oh, okay.
So it's really helpful to keep in mind. Like, I wouldn't be able to run the races I run without hearing my splits and just going without
time. And as a sprinter, that doesn't even come into your world, does it?
We don't. You can't even look at it.
Yeah. I'm
moving you so fast. Straight line. Straight line.
Go, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even know how to balance those two, right? I mean, to be honest. So I think that's the beauty, like, you know, of the different types of races that you see in track and field. Because, you know, when you're sprinting, you don't have that split second that maybe you might make to an adjustment where you're looking at someone, or if you hear a distraction, that could be the difference maybe in winning or losing. Is that a fair comment?
Yes. I think I told you this like yesterday. Sometimes I'll be so focused on running that I like forget to breathe and then I don't realize I'm not breathing until after the race. And I'm like, oh my goodness, why am I breathing so hard? I forgot to breathe the whole race.
So during that, is that something that you kind of also have to practice? Do you practice that as a process to make sure you're breathing through the different points of the race?
Yes. Okay. It's like at the start, you have to remind yourself in your head, get out fast. And then once you get out, you remind yourself, take your 3 steps and then get in your drive phase and then look up and then push, push, push. It's like you just have to have that constant reminder and just it's like a checklist in your mind.
Almost like just doing it like a routine almost. Okay. Coach, as you sit here, how many other seniors do you have on your team this year that's helping kind of, because like as a new coach, I share this with coaches all the time. Seniors can kind of help carry the load. So if you can get buy-in from your seniors early on, then I think you can have a level of success. How many seniors do you have? And do you think that now I'm putting them on the spot. Do you think you have their buy-in?
Oh, 100%. So that we have 7 captains total, not all seniors, but then total seniors on the team.
And I'm not trying to trick you. If you give me a ballpark number, I don't want you to run through and have to say who's 15. Who.
Yeah, I was going to say 15 to 17.
Seniors?
Yeah.
Oh, well, hold on now.
That's boys and girls, my bad.
Boys and girls. Yeah. Okay, I was going to say. Because you all start off like, we're such a young team. We don't have any girls.
No, we do have a lot. We've got a lot of freshmen.
Seven, okay, so that still is a good number then. Okay, so seven or eight seniors. You've got buy-in from these two young ladies here. What would be the, if you were away from practice and they were speaking to some of the younger athletes, what would be like the one thing you would love that they're going to say? What's the message that you're hoping they're sharing? As you said, you lean on them. What's the message that you're hoping they're saying to younger athletes on your team?
Finish through the line, telling them that for sure. But for the sprinters, for sure. But no, beyond that,
I'd say. And for non-track people, what does that mean? Just continuing to run your hardest all the way through the finish line?
That means I don't want to see you slowing down until, 10 meters after that line.
10 meters after
finishing
the line.
Through it, okay. Yes.
So the 200 is really the 210 meters. The 100 is the 100. Is that
correct.
Is that a common thought process?
Yes.
Okay. So finish through the line.
Yes. And then I would say, go back real quick because I don't want to miss this point, but you had asked me about this senior class and with me being a first-year head coach. Truly, this would be the senior class that I would have handpicked to be with me on this. And I say that because, their freshman year, that was when they were runners-up, missed that by, if I'm not mistaken, 12 points.
Okay.
Very close. And then, them being the cornerstone of these past two championships, this class would be the one that I would want to be able to show those younger grades of just kind of,
this is how it's done.
Exactly.
Were both of you on the team as freshmen also?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you've had quite the experience. And you've seen runner up and you also have seen championships. I want to dig into for a moment now, your track beginnings. So Catherine, I'm going to save you for a second. I'm going to save you for a second on this one. But share with me, when did you get involved in track? What's your journey? What does it look like? Where does it begin?
I started track in seventh grade with sprints.
Okay.
It was mostly because my sister did track. My sister ran distance. So I was sprinting and did hurdles up until sophomore year when I joined cross
country. How many siblings?
I have one older sister.
Just you and one older sister.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's kind of the influence of,
definitely.
Hey, get on out here and run a little bit.
Yeah. And then I joined cross country my sophomore year and then ended up switching over to distance and track for the rest of until now, yeah.
So who got sister into track, just as a quick curiosity question?
I think we're just bad at other sports, so we ran.
Okay, you said, hey, let's just figure out how we run. There you go,
yeah.
Okay. I love that. Catherine, your story is different. You come from a family of athletes. Your older siblings played, you were athletes, your parents were athletes, mm-hmm. right? So how does track begin for you?
Track probably started in elementary school. My dad, he used to just take me out to the track and just have me do drills that he did over the summer. We would just go to independent meets. It would be me just in my little get up, just running against all these AAU girls. And that kind of started. And then,
so you weren't even in a club. You weren't with the AAU club. You were just kind of like Catherine and dad team.
It was literally Catherine, let's go up to the track real quick. And we would just run. So, it started like that. And then I joined the team in middle school to run with Dominion and then now at Whetstone. So,
OK.
Yeah.
So but and I think you left out a nice part to that is that your dad also ran track. Right. He was a college track athlete.
Yes, he ran track for OSU all 4 years. And then he ran a little bit professionally after that.
So that's pretty much, you had some pretty decent in-house coaching as well. Right. Is that fair to say? So just I'm always curious. So I have children also, and sometimes they listen, right? Sometimes they listen. So, and I say that, did you find yourself being willing to listen to dad? Did his resume of track help win you over as a, because I know it's not easy for you. So I'm like, and dad gets to watch, so I'm putting you on the spot a little bit with this question, but did you were there ever moments of frustration? And I'm sure there were some, but did you find yourself, okay, hey, dad knows what he's talking about?
Yeah, so I'm going to be honest. For a minute, it was like, Dad, I'm not going to do this drill. Like, what do you have me doing?
Right.
But then once he beat me in a race, it was kind of like, okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
He had to win to prove a little bit that I know what I'm talking about.
He schooled me a little bit. He did. He claims he's always, well, not claims, because he was the fastest man in the world at one point in the 400. So he does have a very, very long.
Also, 400 was Dad's event?
Yes.
And we struggling with you on the 400
yes,
right now?
Yes, I know. That's why I'm leaning into it.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But now there's definitely a yes. I 100%. I take all the tips and tricks that he has for me because I see what he's done and I know that it's all just for my benefit.
So I shared in pre-show that there was no curveballs, right? But I'm throwing a curveball to you right now. I'm just curious to see what you're going to say. You and Dad right now in a race, who can win? Who's
you know,
win?
I would put money on me. You know, I'm confident. I can't
love it.
I can't let that old man school me. You know, I gotta show out.
Races?
You know, yeah, all three sprint races, all three sprint races.
Does he come around sometimes to just watch? I don't know. Or is that something that? Do parents watch track practices? Because I will share with you, parents watch basketball practices for some strange odd reason, right? All the time. So is that a thing for parents, coach? Do you see parents? I mean, I don't know. Is there any joy to watching a track practice?
I would always welcome it, but yeah, I guess typically it's probably just.
I'm just wondering if there's any, joy to, I mean, I don't know. Is there any joy to watching the track practice?
I think all the joy is in the meets.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Okay. So before the season ends, coach arranged, let's get, you know what I mean? Like after you guys get through regionals and states and all this fun stuff, get Dad out there one day and let's see if he can dust off his spikes. And then that way we'll at least have like a whetstone story for the history books, right? Even if Dad wins, we're saying right now on air, the story will always be that you won. So don't worry about it.
I always
win.
I always win.
So they keep, a lot of the kids have been saying that we need to do a coach's relay. Like versus students, and I don't know how far Joe Monda can run anymore. Yeah. So, you know, if I need a sub, I will gladly take Catherine's dad.
Okay. I was going to say, like, I don't know. Coaches need to be careful on stuff like that, right? Because that was the same trick that I got looped into when my niece said, oh, yeah, we can run and blah, blah, blah. And then next thing I know, she said, I'll even give you 100 meters. I'm thinking to myself, there is absolutely no way she's going to beat me. And lo and behold, but when I came around the curve, a hamstring or something became tight. So I had to stop for a little bit. Right. So that's what we're going with in this particular story that's out there for the world to hear. So now tell me a little bit about a typical practice. Have you changed much, coach, in practice or have you kept some of the same traditions that you kind of established or that were established before you arrived?
I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, but I think the only thing that I really changed was that instead of doing a 2-lap warm-up, I just changed it to one because me being a sprinter, I never wanted to run 2 laps. And I'm like, you know what? One's good. And the funny thing is, you know, all the sprinters are like, oh, they couldn't have been happier. But then half the time, a lot of distance kids, they still do their 2 laps anyways because they want to.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Like, in my mind, it was funny because I'm like, this is going to save some time, cut it down. It really hasn't. Okay. So, like, it's ironic to me. But, like, besides that, like, I thought everything that we kind of had in place
going.
Was, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, let me share. Before you walked in, and so by the time this show airs, we don't air on the same day, which is fine. But today, for those of us, when you're listening to this, the overcast is a little bit chilly and maybe there's going to be some rain today. So when you hear this episode, I asked your two athletes here. I said, hey, so what would practice be like today? Is it like canceled or indoors? And they were like, absolutely not. So track practice, running track in Ohio means running on a day like this, which is maybe a little bit chilly and windy and rainy, there's no time off, coach. There's no practice off on a day like this.
So as they both know, a lot of meets are going to be like this. So you have two options: you either practice in it to be prepared for it, or you avoid it and then come the meet time, you're not ready.
That's all the time we have today on WCBE 90.5 FM. To hear the full show, you can find the City League Sports Podcast on Spotify, Apple, or whatever platform you prefer to listen to your favorite podcast. You can also follow us on Instagram at City League Sports 614. Until next time, I'm Dr. Vince Clarno, and thanks for listening.
Stay up to date on your favorite WCBE podcasts with the WCBE app, available now to download for free on iOS and Android.